Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
It has been said that Social Security is the third rail of American politics, that those who dare to touch it will get burned, electrocuted, actually. Well, if that's true, it very well may be, it may also be true that women's issues are the third rail of American Christianity, that those who touch that will also get burned. But, like it or not, that is the subject that comes before us now in our study through 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The last part of the chapter deals with the role of women in the church, and it is a very controversial subject, to be sure. So why do we take it up? Because it's next. That's the simple answer, that when you do verse-by-verse exposition, then you deal with what comes next. Whether you want to or not, whether you like to or not, nevertheless, that's what comes next. Some, of course, would consider this an issue too hot to handle and skip over it. But those who are committed to teaching the whole counsel of God are going to deal with it the best they can, recognizing that there certainly may be some areas that are obscure, and no honest expositor will claim that he understands everything. But with an eye to God above and to God's people below, we will venture forth into this section of God's Word. Thank you for joining me on this Monday, May 16. Thank you for your financial help that allows us to continue teaching God's Word on this station. Well, after dealing with the issue of spiritual gifts, and particularly the spiritual gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, the Apostle Paul comes to these words in verses 34 and 35. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Wow. I cannot imagine a more controversial subject. Well, these instructions to women are certainly problematic, certainly are countercultural to most people in our day, highly offensive to many, and admittedly historically abused by some. There's no question that whatever the Bible teaches about women and their role in the home and in the church, that there are those who have abused what the Bible teaches to take it to make it more more difficult, more demanding, more insensitive than what the Bible actually teaches. But that's true about every doctrine. Every doctrine of God's Word has people who err on one side or the other of the doctrine, some by taking it farther than the Bible takes it, and others by not taking it as far as the Bible takes it. And so we shouldn't be surprised if we find the same thing to be true here, but this being such a sensitive issue, maybe some people are more focused on the problems with this text. So we do not want to go beyond what the Bible teaches. We certainly do not want to be guilty of misusing the Bible to suppress the legitimate activities that God gives to women, but we do have some very strong, very challenging, but without question, very clear statements that we have to deal with. Women, we are told in these two verses, are not to speak in the churches. They are not permitted to speak, we read in verse 34. It is shameful for women to speak in church, we are told in verse 35. And furthermore, the audacity of this text to say that women are to be submissive to their husbands. They are to submit themselves, middle reflexive in the Greek, submit themselves to their husbands. Now, that requires a little bit of elaboration. Back to verse 34, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And it's clear from the next verse that the submissiveness there is to be to their husbands. And I say that could be and should be more accurately translated, they are to submit themselves. Now, what is the point of emphasizing that? Because husbands, listen to me now, and this is one of those areas where this text and other similar texts, and this is certainly not the only one that addresses this issue, but this text and other similar ones are often misunderstood or misapplied as if it says, husbands, you are to make your wives submit. You won't find that anywhere. Husbands are not instructed in Scripture to force their wives into submission, but wives are instructed to submit themselves. And that is important. And that is critically important that we get it right. It's not the husband who has God's permission or God's instruction to make his wife submit, but the wife is required to submit. You say, well, who's going to make her do it if she doesn't do it? We'll have to leave that up to God, won't we? He can work in her heart. He can require her to submit. The husband does not have that right to beat his wife into submission or to do other things that coerce and force her into submission or to attempt to do so. I don't know that that's ever done successfully in a God-honoring way, because husbands are not given permission to do that. Husbands are not instructed to do that. Unlike Bible teaching in regard to parents and their children, and parents are to bring their children into submission. It's not that children are just simply to voluntarily submit themselves to their parents, but parents are to teach their children to submit, to teach their children to obey. But husbands, though they should discuss this with their wives, if that's what you mean by teach, but husbands are not instructed to force compliance for their wives. That's vitally, vitally important. And we are told here that this is in conjunction with the Old Testament law. But they, the wives, are to be submissive as the law also says. We could go to Genesis 2:20. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. He brought her to the man, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, A man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, in that passage, you don't find anything about the husband forcing his wife into submission, but the relationship between the two indicates that there is a prior position that is given to the man by virtue of his being created first. And the wife is brought to him to be, as the language of my Bible says, to be a helper comparable to him. She's comparable to him in many, many ways, more ways than many people appreciate. But the intelligence of women, the creativity of women, the value of women ought to be highly esteemed by husbands and by everyone else. But you still can't do away with the fact that she is created at the beginning for the purpose of being a helper comparable to him. To some husbands, you have to emphasize the comparable because they don't understand that. Comparable to him. She is equal to you in abilities, in intelligence, in value, in worth, in all of these things. She needs to be esteemed highly in that way. And some husbands need to learn that. They haven't figured that out yet and need to change their understanding and their attitudes. But some wives need to be reminded, you are, by God's design, given to be a helper to your husband. And everybody understands that the helper is the one who is submissive to the one that they are helping. You could substitute the word assistant. Partner's not a bad word. There is a partnership here. I think that's an excellent concept, but not without coupling it with the idea of helper or there to give assistance to. And then you move on into chapter 3 and verse 16 after the fall, and when God is pronouncing his judgments upon the serpent and upon Adam and upon the woman and so forth. And he says this in verse 16, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be to your husband. That's an interesting phrase, and it invites exploration, but we don't have time for that right now. But this phrase, and he shall rule over you. So this relationship, which is really portrayed mildly in the creation of woman in chapter 2, the assisting relationship, it's there. It's there from the very beginning, but now it's made more explicit. Your husband is going to have authority. He's going to rule over you in the sense that he has authority in the home. Now, that's from the very beginning, and that is apparently what is referred to here in verse 34, where it says, but they are to be submissive as the law also says. Now, have we touched the third rail of American Christianity yet? It's a hot button topic, and many people bristle at this. The idea that women should in any way whatsoever, be considered submissive to their husbands. That's a no, 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 no. The idea of absolute equal partnership with nobody being the authority, nobody ruling over the other, is a, what should I say? It's a sentimental concept, a sentimental ideal, I suppose, but the only problem with it is it's not a biblical one. And that's what we're interested in if we are Bible-believing Christians. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.